kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I want to share today about the mind, our mind. And I think we're all very aware of the battlefield with regard to the mind. And we know that man's mind is certainly under attack in these last days, and we are sadly seeing more and more mental issues that is happening. And of course, a lot of this is, we know what's really happening. These are demonic spirits. These are forces that are really attacking man's mind. It seems now that the enemy is working overtime to try and take man's mind. But the good news of the gospel is that we have the mind of Christ, and that comes with the new birth. So that is what we're going to talk about today, and our title for this is Whose Mind is Stayed on Thee? Whose Mind is Stayed on Thee? And we're going to, of course, base this from the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4 of Isaiah 26. And here, let's just familiarize ourselves. And it says here, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yahweh, the Lord is everlasting strength." And this is an interesting part in verse 5. It says, "For he brings down those who dwell on high and the lofty city, and he lays it low." One could almost put that spiritually, where the Spirit will fight for our minds to bring down, to cast down those thoughts and imaginations, those things that try to veer us away from God. So there's the mercy of God, isn't it? That he helps with the mind, in which we can cast down these thoughts. And we all have them. And our minds can run riot. Our minds can wander off on things, on different tangents, and so on. So we again need the power of God in which to work on our minds, to keep our minds focused upon the Lord, upon his word, but above all on those right things. So as it says here, as we've just read, it's our minds set on the Lord. And of course, this can only be done if you are truly born again of the Spirit. A clear sign that you are not born again would be that your mind is not stayed on the Lord. In fact, your mind has very little time for the Lord, or to set your mind on him, but it's set upon the world and the world's ways and the world's lusts. So it's a good giveaway, a good sign, when we are truly born again, because we find that there is this warfare that goes on. We find that we no longer want to think those thoughts or dwell on those thoughts. There's something within us that says that this is wrong. This is not what the Spirit likes. And these, of course, are the clear signs that you are moving and growing with God. In other words, an overcomer. And a lot of our overcoming is overcoming the mind and the issues of the minds. And that is, of course, why God sets deliverance in us And he also sets deliverance from things of the past. He heals us of the past, else the mind will entertain those thoughts and dwell on those thoughts. But we find also that the Lord puts a new heart within us, because the Word of God tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the heart has to be worked on as well. And we know he's doing that because it says that he changes these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. So again, having that new heart is a great help to be able to cast down, to stop thinking and dwelling on those thoughts. You see, there is a power that is working within you and I, that is getting our attention on thinking the right things. Every day, in fact, we find that the Holy Spirit is working within us where he probably doesn't want us to think on that, to not think on those critical thoughts or those hateful thoughts or resentment or lustful thoughts. And we find that the Spirit doesn't like it, and he reminds us. And when he starts to remind us, we then find we're at times in a battle, in a warfare. Now, part of the deliverance of our mind is where our minds have been dwelling on certain things for many, many years. The mind has a way of dwelling on certain areas of fear. And so when we find ourselves tested or we're going through a trial, that fear will manifest because you are thinking, you are dwelling on it. And so God has to break that hold. And there's no finer way of breaking that hold than walking by faith, taking those steps of faith, actually defying those thoughts of fear that you were gripped and held and bound by. This should be what is happening with us as we are growing and maturing as overcomers. And so if you're finding your mind is under a battle, or you have found your mind last week under a battle, that can be a good sign. That is a sign that deliverance, healing is on the way. God is delivering you from not dwelling and thinking upon that anymore. And it doesn't take us long to realize that some of those things that we dwell and think upon don't bring us any peace. They don't bring us any joy or any blessing. And finally, it drops from the head to the heart. You know, you say, I'm not going to think on this anymore. This is nothing but torment. This brings me no joy, no pleasure, and I know my Heavenly Father doesn't like this. And then you find deliverance happens, and you no longer want to think those thoughts anymore. That's often how God is getting us to have a changed mind and attitude. And remember, behind a lot of that thinking is also wrong attitudes. We have a wrong attitude towards that we're dwelling upon or thinking upon. And I've said many, many times over the years that very often it's our attitudes that defeat us in faith. It's not so much always faith itself, it's my thinking, my attitude toward it. And so that is what God is delivering. And of course, one of the ways that he does this is that we get into the Word of God, the anointed Word, the preaching and the teaching. There's nothing like it to deliver the mind. Believe me. You see, we need to think, is there a conviction within me that tells me that this is wrong to think that? There should be. There should be at times a conviction, something that's there within your heart, your spirit. That's wrong to think that. That's wrong to think that critical thought. Even suspicion can hold you. We shouldn't be suspicious about people. Jesus was never suspicious about anyone. He knew. He knew what his Father was saying. He knew what was in the heart. You see, when you are suspicious, you're not sure whether you're right or you're wrong. And that shouldn't be for an overcomer. We have the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. And where we find that truth, which is yea or nay, comes as we pray about a situation. If you are continually suspicious about people and motives and situations, that's moving into paranoia. They're demons that work in that realm. That should not be for a Christian. If we are not sure, or we see something that is wrong with a brother or sister, or I'm not sure about this, I don't have complete peace, you take it before the Lord in prayer. And you wait on God in which to confirm what he's saying, or what he's showing, or what you suspect. But we should not continue with that suspicion. You know why? Because that stops the love of God flowing. You cannot love as God wants you to love if you are suspicious of people. And so that's why God deals with that like he does. You see, you cannot spiritualize being suspicious, and we've all tried to do it. God will reveal. It means maybe we have to wait. It means that God maybe is working through this situation and has a right time to show, to speak, but he always will. And that's how our Lord worked. You see, even Jesus's enemies, even the scribes and the Pharisees who were plotting and scheming to kill him and so forth, he was never suspicious of them because he knew their motive. He knew what they were up to. But he wasn't going to let that stop him preaching and teaching the gospel, the good news, so that all of them, even his enemies, could have a chance to repent and turn away. It's something that we have to watch, because generally people who are suspicious, and I know people who are like this, suspicious almost about everything, I'll tell you what is actually working. It's fear that's working. That's what fear does. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. That's why it is the perfect love of God that gives the knowledge, the revelation that we need to know. But the mind is the battlefield. And that's why it requires faith, and it requires a prayer life in order to deal with it. We are to work on the mind. We are to take the mind seriously. That's why we're addressing this subject today, because we in FGA take this serious because of the onslaughts, the battles of the mind. What does it say in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9? Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. There you are. That is a working on the mind. What is he saying here? He's saying, think on those things that are true. Don't keep dwelling on falsity, false things, lies. Dwell on that which is true, and nothing finer than the word of God. Whatever things are noble, people who do works, noble things for the glory of God, who've gone that extra mile, good to think on those things. Whatever things are just, standing for the truth, standing for justice, righteousness, we're to think and dwell on those things. Whatever things are pure, purity. Think on pure thoughts, not corrupt thoughts or lustful thoughts. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. It goes on, and if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This all helps with the healing and deliverance of the mind. And then the apostle goes on to say that, learn these things. You've received this. You've heard. You've seen. You've heard what I've taught. So the Apostle Paul is dealing with the mind of the saints. He knows what the enemy tries to plant, the negative, the critical thoughts, always thinking critically bad about that person. There are times when it just has to be a conscious desire or decision to make. Sometimes you've just got to say, I am not going to think that any longer. It goes in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you have to do that. You see, anxiety, fear, fights in conflict with the mind. It does. This is why God is rooting out fear, because we know that fear will get you to think negatively, critically. That's its nature. I'm reminded again what it says back in Isaiah. He says quite clearly, let's read it just again, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So that is a prayer to pray. Lord, keep my mind on you, on your word. Work that so that I have that peace in my mind 24/7. And God will do it and is doing it. Why? Because you trust in him. You walk by faith. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength. Strength for what? Well, not only to save you and support you, but strength over your mind. But it talks about trusting God, faith. And this is why we come back again and we preach faith as we do, because faith will overcome the mind. So many of our brothers and sisters are bound and paralyzed in their minds that they cannot go on into the deeper life and deeper walk. The enemy knows how to attack the mind to keep many Christians immature, stopping them from growing up. And he will not have that of us. And of course, if you have a prayer life, which we should have, then the mind can be under conflict. The mind will just tell you, well, you can't pray today. You've had a busy time of it. You're tired. Just go to bed. That's what the mind will tell you. The mind picks up the body, how the body feels, and so on. I mean, I know that one. It's been so hot here the last few days, we're not sleeping, any of us, very well. We're all very light in our sleep, and we wake up and then we feel really tired and so on. And I felt really tired today, but I started confessing the joy of the Lord is my strength, and he will have me there to preach and teach this word. And it doesn't take long when the mind starts to think positively. And then you realize the enemy was trying to work on the mind. Why? Because he doesn't want me to preach this. That's why. But you soon find out what he's up to. What does Jude 20 tell us? The little book of Jude 20, he says, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." So that's what we do. So tongues, praying in the Spirit, is very helpful, particularly if you are tired, particularly if you are going to minister the word. That's what I do. I've learned this over the years. I've learned the pitfalls. I've learned where I've made mistakes, but you don't make it anymore. And the power of just speaking in tongues and in the Spirit is very powerful. And he says, it goes on, that you keep contact with God. He says, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So you keep in contact with God, with his love. You talk to him. If you're in a battle, your mind's in a battle, and our minds do get in a battle sometimes, talk to him. And you suddenly find you get these breakthroughs. Sometimes the Lord allows the powers of darkness to really buffet your mind, where you feel at times you're going insane. Your mind is all over the place. And you find, as you just keep with it, keep in the Spirit, keep in tongues, suddenly you come through. I'm reminded of a testimony. I think I've given this one, but it was given years and years ago. Very few will ever go through something like this, but there was a woman, born again, Spirit-filled, loved the Lord. Her husband died. I don't quite know how he died. And I believe a day later, her son died. She was so out of her mind was so just not with it, there was only one thing she knew she could do, and that was just speak in the Spirit, in tongues, keep speaking and speaking. And after a while, she was in tongues, and suddenly her hands lifted up toward heaven, and she started to praise and worship God, and she kept with those tongues all the while, and those tongues were bringing deliverance to her mind so she could concentrate, she could look to the Lord. I've never forgotten that testimony. That's something that most of us will never go through anything like that. And I hope we don't. But you get my point, what I'm saying. And then it tells us, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So that's what we do. We look to the mercy and the love of God. Sometimes we just have to cry out, Lord, have mercy over my mind. I'm just battling, I can't get free here. But you have triumphed. You said it's done, it's finished. And that was spoken over my mind because I have the mind of Christ. There are times when we just have to do that. This is why it tells us in Ephesians to put on the helmet of salvation. Notice it says the helmet and it says salvation, because that is where the devil is trying to rob you of your salvation. And that is why he attacks the mind like he does. So that tells us something, that he can try and destroy a believer. Now we know that God eternally calls from the foundation of the world, and we only know if we're called because we remain faithful. We remain faithful to the Lord. We keep coming, we keep listening, we keep in the body of Christ. They are clear signs of being called from the foundation of the world. But on the other side of the coin, we know we are being saved and we walk by faith. And so it tells us to put on the helmet of salvation. Our salvation is ministered to by the mind and the heart of the Spirit, just like we're having now. So there are these things in Scripture that show us very clearly what God is meaning by this. And another area to be able to overcome the mind, and that is to have a grateful heart, to be thankful, to worship God, to be appreciative. If you've got a heart and spirit that's griping and moaning and self-centered, and you feel that God's got it in for you, or whatever it is, you won't have the mind of Christ. You won't experience that. And we know people who battle like that. Some of them are not with us because they don't want to get free in the mind. But if you love the Lord, there is something within you wants to think these godly thoughts. There's something within you can't rest until you are seeing a breakthrough, a victory with your mind. Because the mind is so important. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The heart and the mind are connected. What is ever in your heart is in your mind. You're going to think and dwell on them. And this is why God brings the deliverance like he does to us, setting us free. And one of the major ways he sets us free is through the anointed word, the teaching. Nothing like it. And sometimes you know when you're going to get a deliverance, because your mind is under a battle. That's why it's a good giveaway. Why is the enemy working like this? Why is he targeting my mind in such a way? Well, it can be because deliverance, healing is on the way. Some people can't get physically healed yet because they're not thinking in a healing manner. They're not thinking positively. Their minds are not thinking in accordance to God's word, so they're not confessing the word as they should be. And sometimes that can hinder your healing from manifesting, because the enemy has got to lose hold. He's got a grip, he's got a hold, you see. That's why Jesus, when he spoke sometimes, when he spoke to the spirit, he spoke to the devil, I loosen your hold. He's loosening the mind, the thinking, the attitude that you are held by in order for healing to come. But we need a heart that is thankful, praising God, thanking Him for what He's done and what He's doing and will do. All of that is essential for the healing of the mind, keeping the mind whole before God. We also need that right spiritual environment. It's essential that we are in the right pastures, that we are in the right church, the right ministry, where God has placed you, baptized you into the body. All of that as well plays a vital part of our minds being renewed and delivered. You see, it isn't just one thing, it's accumulation of things in which God is working that mind, His mind within us, because that's what He's fundamentally doing. He's working His mind in you. That's why it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why we say, I have the mind of Christ. In other words, I'm saying, I have your mind. If you're unsure, you confess, I have your mind in this. If you are battling bad thoughts, you confess, no, Lord, I have your mind in this. If you've got enemies that are out to get you or who are lying against you or whatever it is, I have your mind toward them. We come back with the positive, where the negative is trying to work in the mind. And then you don't find you fester over these things that they've said about you or how they treated you or whatever it would be. You know, it's a huge problem in the house of God, resentment, unforgiveness amongst professing believers. It's a big, big area. I've had to cover this one more than anything in my ministry with Christians. Why? Because they are not believing for the mind of Christ. They're not confessing it, believing it. They want a quick answer, a quick deliverance, but it doesn't work like that. We've just been covering areas of how our minds are changed, are delivered. We've just touched the surface to what the Spirit is doing. But you need commitment. You need to walk as a disciple. You're no good as just a Sunday Christian or coming, listening to these sermons. It goes on more than that. We realize that what we hear week after week, we take this away with us. We pray about it. We know that we have to live it and act it and move upon it. They're the ones that grow, because the mind will always stop you. The mind will always tell you, you can't do that. You can't overcome in that area. That mountain's far too big. You will never overcome that. God's got to work on the mind, delivering you in your mind, your thinking. And no finer way than embracing the promises of God's word, confessing the word of God over those negative thoughts in the mind. You think for 1 minute a negative area, and the next thing, you will be battling an hour over that. That is why you've got to nip it in the bud when it starts. And we're not always too quick about that, are we? Because you see, those voices, those things that the mind works and thinks upon can be so logic. It can be so logical. But it isn't. Because it's very often the enemy that is speaking to the mind. And this is why you've got to come back with the word of God. And you'll find in time as you walk and you're pressing in that you'll realize your mind is no longer under the battle that it once used to be. that you're thinking godly thoughts. You're thinking Christ thoughts. And that's what he's working. That's what he's doing within us. He's placing, renewing our mind with his mind. And I'll give the analogy again, as I give so often, we are being reprogrammed, just like a computer. But you've got to remove and take away the old. Because much of that wrong thinking has wrong attitudes with it. I mean, I'm going to give something. I know it's small, it's not a big thing. But I wasn't very good at eating prawns. And they had a bit of a side effect on me. And on a few occasions when I've had them, particularly if you go out, you're invited out for lunch or whatever it is, a few hours later, I found myself being sick. And I knew God was in this because, again, I was invited for a meal and prawns came up. And I thought, no, this isn't a mistake. This is coming up for a reason. And so I settled it in my mind that I, by the stripes of Christ, I was healed at Calvary. He took this. You see, it was in my mind, my thinking. Oh, no, don't touch those. Don't eat that. You will be sick. You see, that's what the mind is thinking, the attitude behind it. And I thought, I need deliverance in that thinking. See, I was examining myself. I was seeing what was going on in my mind, my thinking, and I knew that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That wasn't the Word of God. That was holding me in fear and bondage. You see, you have to discern. You have to test these things that try to attack the mind. And so I settled it. Yes, my first meal with prawns, I felt a little bit nausea after it, but I wasn't sick. I thought, praise the Lord. Lo and behold again, yes, they came up, prawns again. I ate them, and that time, no side effects, no sickness. I now can eat them. I'm delivered. Do I like prawns? Are they my best thing? No, they're not. But I eat them for the glory of God. Why? Because I knew I was being held in the mind. Attitudes. There are demons behind that. Infirmity behind that. And the Lord set me free. And he's doing exactly the same with you, brothers and sisters. That is why we think upon God's word. This is why we make so much about the promises of God's word, because they are deliverance for you. They are delivering you from wrong thinking, from wrong mindsets, from wrong attitudes. And sadly, some of that we've picked up from teachers who should know better. But praise God, he's on the throne. And he's bringing us forth now as overcomers, overcoming all things. It's amazing how we can have these little mindsets, these wrong attitudes still, that can just rob us of joy and blessing. Well, brothers and sisters, it's up to you. We hear it. We hear what God says. We take it away and we seek the Lord about it. This is all part of our deliverance as God bringing us forth now in these last days. And this is why he's doing such a deliverance with the mind, because we're seeing with the great falling away now in the world, man's mind is so bound and held by demonic forces. This is why there's so much mental problem and fear and paranoia. Even people just talk about, they're saying, what is happening? We didn't used to have this 20, 30 years ago like we're seeing it today. That is exactly what I've been addressing. And that is why God is setting us free now. Hallelujah. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Keep your mind always upon the Lord, upon his word. And when you're under a battle, talk it out with God. And you will get that change, that deliverance. Praise God.
Disaster, let him in constancy fall.